This podcast is brought to you by FIM24.com.
Well, welcome to Off the Record. My name is David Mackay, the editor of FIN24, and it's with the greatest of pleasure I get to introduce Xolani Mtwanazi. I hope I've got that correct. He is the chairperson of VHP Billiton South Africa and the new elected president of the Chamber of Mines of South Africa. Xolani, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave, and to your audience as well.
Well, I'd like to start with the very thorny issue of nationalization. The Chamber hasn't gone into detail on the debate yet, saying that it's, you know, quoting the ANC, that it's not ANC policy. But quite recently, there was a response from the outgoing chief executive officer of the Chamber responding to the ANC Youth League's statements on nationalization, saying that the Chamber is going to engage on this issue. When and how do you see that engagement happening?
Well, you'll recall that the NGC decided that some research will be done or will be overseen by the National Executive Committee of the ANC, after which the matter will be debated at the next ANC conference, policy conference. You see, what has been happening, Dave, so far is that this has been a political debate based mainly on emotions. I think the appropriate time for the Chamber to get involved is in a fact-based debate, not a political or emotional debate. Fact-based, business-based, economic-based debate. Then that's appropriate time and platform where we get involved.
Mm. Now, your predecessor, Sipho Nkosi, has said that nationalization of the mining industry, as it were today, would have actually cost government many billions of rands, and that it's a model that's never worked anywhere else in the world. We've heard this a lot throughout this entire year on this debate. I assume that's a stance with which you agree.
I do agree, because ever since the turn down of the economic turn down, the mining industry has been taking from shareholders and mining companies that equivalent to that amount. Mm. During this period, has this industry been owned by government? Where would that money come from? Mm. Taxpayers. That's what we meant.
Mm. Okay, let me throw a bit of a curveball at you on nationalization, and we can leave it alone. There's a well-known mineral rights lawyer called Hume Scholes, mm-hmm. who's been saying that the process of nationalization is actually underway by stealth. And one of his points that he makes in a recent presentation is that the BE targets are so difficult to reach, and that the fact they can't be met means that government will give government the political grounds for imposing nationalization further down the line beyond 2012. On the BE points, do you think they are reachable, doable? Can they ever be met?
The most important thing, Dave, to me, is that the industry is committed to transformation. The industry believes government is also, as well, committed to fast work together to make sure it is globally competitive. And then, of course, the rest of the stuff is how quickly can we do it? What are reasonable targets? What are reasonable things that we can achieve between now and 2014? A lot of engagement, three-way engagement on these issues. And we actually then agreed on those targets that have been put there. We believe they're achievable. There are some exceptions to some of them, because the industry is not monolithic. Necessarily uniform. There's different challenges for different sectors of the industry. So certain targets will be more difficult for certain sectors of the industry. However, we agreed on a review process, annual review process, to monitor progress, what has been the difficulties, what has been exceeded. And take a view going forward. What must we adjust to better enable each other to meet these objectives?
Just looking at the mining industry going forward, growth-wise, if you take gold out of the equation, mm-hmm. it has a good future.
industry.
You throw the gold industry in and the growth rates don't look as good. One of the big questions is, South African gold X growth? I mean, every year the gold production figures fall.
That's right. The gold is getting deeper, more expensive to extract. This is the reality of the situation. However, looking at the total mineral endowment of the country, the Citibank recently published some staggering data, very encouraging data, that South Africa is still by far the most endowed mineral endowed country in the world, and therefore this industry can and should still be the mainstay of economic growth in this country.
There are big threats that stand in the way, or at least challenges, let's try and put it as neutrally as possible. And they are, you know, nationalization is something the Chamber's spoken about a lot, major threat. What about labor, labor costs? Do you think that there's kind of been a disconnect between the unions and management in terms of what is sustainable going forward?
This is the continuous conversation between labor and industry. Obviously, we want good quality of life for the employees, but we also need good productivity to match these good wages. Again, they're not mutually exclusive. Again, these things are two sides of the same coin. High wages do not mean an uncompetitive industry necessarily if productivity is there.
But how do you get that? That's the trick. How do you get that mix? And at the moment, labor on the gold mines is 40-50% of total unit costs. So it's a big part to play.
Well, the production costs in gold are not only driven by labor. They're driven by the scarcity of the resource, by the lack of better technology to get to where the resource is. So I think labor is just one of the inputs into the cost, into the reducing productivity. But of course, gold is a bit unique in this, in that sense. And as you said, gold is a declining industry. I don't think we'd use gold and then generalize to the rest of the industry.
Sure. I mean, there are other areas of the industry that represent high growth.
Right.
Would coal be one of them for you?
I believe we still have coal for many years in South Africa. I mean, there's areas almost virgin, like in Waterberg, that have not even been started yet. Yeah. People just have a tendency of just looking at Mpumalanga and say, gee, this coal is getting finished, but that's just one area of coal in South Africa, but it's not the only one.
How about getting it out of the country? How about getting it to the port?
There's challenges in the infrastructure in this country. Generally speaking, it's not just rail, but as you know, power as well. Mm. A couple of years ago, industry had to cut 10% to accommodate the tight demand-supply balance in the electricity. And I think rightly so, government has identified infrastructure as a high priority to enable growth in this country.
Are you pessimistic or optimistic about the power situation going forward? Do you see rolling blackouts again in the future?
I think there's going to be more challenges before the relief comes between now and when we commission the next power station. However, Eskom is working on plans, they tell us, to mitigate those challenges through, for example, demand side management, energy efficiency management issues, accelerating introduction of renewables into the system, and of course there's going to be limited growth as a result. However, these are not insurmountable. I think industry, government, and parastatals working together will resolve the infrastructure.
How is the Chamber's relationship with government? It's, at one point, it's been, I guess, as you'd expect in any robust debate, you get differences of opinion, and the Chamber's relationship with government reflected that. But in the main, how would you describe your relationship with government ministers?
I would say constructive. Constructive, and I think working together in engaging in getting to the current mining charter has demonstrated that it is possible to work constructively together. and has demonstrated the willingness of government to listen to all sides of issues while formulating policy and legislation. And I would say it's constructive, and it looks good going forward. That is going to be, and I think this is one of the biggest ingredients for the success of the industry going forward. That's why I'm personally optimistic.
I was intrigued to see in the Chamber's annual report, it referred to the MIGDET process, which for those who are not mining aficionados, MIGDET stands for the Mining Industry Growth Development and Employment Task Team. And it was looking at how to stave off unemployment in the recession and how to grow competitiveness of the South African industry. So one of the achievements of MIGDET, the Chamber said in its annual report just released, that it was able to get the mining sector back onto the government's list of priorities. That's intriguing. I mean, was the mining industry ever off its list of priorities, and what's meant by that statement?
Lately, there's been lots of talk about South Africa becoming a service economy. That implies relying less on resources, relying less on heavy-duty industry. Perceptions about the whole mining industry being a sunset industry, going into a phase of inability to create jobs, therefore service industry, tourism, create more jobs, and so on. I think what this has done is that we've shifted back to realizing, I think, that mining will and can still play the critical, one of the priority roles of growing and developing this economy. Mining is a competitive advantage for this country. If we've got more, if we're more endowed than anybody else on minerals and we abandon this vehicle for growth, then we'll be passing that competitive, we'll not be using our competitive advantage. And I think government has now correctly identified mining. In fact, in the announcement that was made by Jacob Zuma last week, mining comes number four priority, and rightly so.
Okay. What about, let's have a look at the Transnet situation again. Again, I turn to the annual report that Chamber put out, and it said that that a meeting with Transnet Freight Rail was scheduled for the latter part of 2010. And the big issue is that RBCT has a certain capacity that's not being met sometimes, and the rail is one of the reasons it's underachieving. Have you been able to have that meeting with the Transnet Freight Rail, and what might be the fruits of that?
Well, the industry is constantly engaging with the Transnet to try and do something about the lack of alignment between the port capacity that's now going to 91 million tons, and the rail capacity that has never achieved more than about 66 million tons a year in recent times. What can we do to improve the freight capacity to better match the port capacity? That engagement is going on, and in fact, we are now agreeing on how to increase the rail capacity. Of course, it would need some capital and varying levels of capital to move it from where it is now to say 81 million tons, and from 81 to 91 million tons. There's constant debate, and we believe that it might take a public partnership approach to eventually achieve the optimal level.
Well, Arnie, just one final question. You're also the chairman of BHP Billiton South Africa, and you must have some special kind of insight into, the South African mining industry's investability from a foreign perspective. Do you think the events of the past year, including the review of the mining legislation, has dented South Africa's standing in the eyes of foreign investors?
I think there's general nervousness, or there's been some nervousness all round on that score in terms of the security of tenure here and the consistency of regulation going forward. However, I think this very process we've been going through between us, the chamber and industry and labour, has put a cap on those sentiments, and I think it's now up to us and government to show that we are closing those gaps. We are bringing back the attractiveness of for investment to the southern industry in future.
Kulani Mkhwanazi, thank you very much for joining me on Off the Record.